All right, call our meeting back to order. Next item under administrative and departmental functions is pro tem pavilion approval letter. Anybody got info on that?
Here's the pile of stuff that Nikki had in there, so.
That's probably it right there. John Heiser, it's been requested Kane County Commission address this letter to you concerning a request from the Park Board pertaining to the pro tem pavilion with 25 foot of underground electrical service.
Motion for approval.
Second. This is what we talked about last week, and
yeah,
you got the letter.
Yeah, we approved last week when Angela was here, but we didn't have the letter
right
typed up. She requested that we send them a letter.
That's right.
Okay, it's the bottom part of the letter. Okay.
And all that is to be sent to Darlene Cole to send to them from the county commission. So.
Okay, this.
It's addressed to John Heiser, but she's going to take it.
She's going to be the one to take it and
yeah.
Send it to them.
Okay.
That's with agreement with the park board the other night, too.
Okay. Questions, comments? All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries. All right, next item is sale of used vehicles to Rockaway, Hollister, and Marion Woods. These are all sheriff department vehicles that have been replaced. And I don't see Mr. Paulson. We'd had discussion, I think, originally on Rockaway Beach. And they have gone out and looked, and I think Rockaway and Marion Woods, if I'm not mistaken, has also gone out and looked at some vehicles that they'd like to get from the county ahead of putting them all on a regular auction. We discussed $500 in one meeting, as I remember. You guys got a notion how you want to handle this? Here
well,
comes Bob.
I had Rick Finley give me some estimates, blue book values on the vehicles, not knowing the $500, not knowing what the value was. Some of the 2006 Dakotas, I think book value is still $9,600 on the books. So as a steward of the taxpayer dollars, I think it'd be irresponsible for us to take $500 for a vehicle that could be worth as much as $9,600. Now, the auction's in October, or I guess traditionally it's in October. If we wanted to come off of the blue book value or NADA book or whatever Kelley Blue Book value and come up with a percent off of that, I'm fine with that. But just to randomly pick $500, I'm not fine with. I think it'd just be probably the wrong thing to do with the current economic conditions, the money, the values, all that. So I'm not inclined to sell them for $500 at this point.
Jim, I have to say that I think that the other taxpayers in the area, and because we've just had two cities, villages come forward, that it would be unfair to every other one to disperse a $10,000 or $9,600 vehicle to that particular village without each one having a opportunity to do so. The fact of the option fares everything out, but I'm willing to look at everybody that would, all the incorporated areas, and set a price per vehicle off a percentage of the blue book.
Okay.
There's three of those that I would almost, from my research on them, there's three of those that we probably wouldn't want to send out to the public for public use. Jimmy, can you give me a little heads up on any of that? There's seven of them all together, and four of them are in good shape according to the mechanics, but the other three are
I think probably the main thing's wrong with one of them's got a possible head gasket problem. The other one's got others have some transmission problems.
So,
but we always make the public aware of those at auction.
Right, right.
Of what we know is wrong with them.
They're buying. They know that.
Right.
We're not giving it to an incorporated area for them to put an officer or something like that in after we've discarded it.
Yeah.
I have a little bit of a...
Well, and just to remind you, in the past, when this has come up, we've always just told them that they have to buy them at auction. So that's that's been the way we've always done it before. And, you know, we've had a lot of people looking at these rigs and inquiring about them, and we told them they'd be at auction. So.
Okay. I'd like us to look at it kind of like I think we bought a generator recently from Missouri Surplus Sales. You know, they've got all kinds of equipment that they make available to government entities. The public can't go in and buy it, if I understand correctly. And I mean, we bought some bargains from the state. I'd kind of like to have us look at it that way, or that's the way I've been looking at it. Comment, Jimmy?
The question on that is, are you going to open it up to all government entities?
Well, we've got three government entities currently interested in those. So I would say yes. If there's other government entities, yes. Sir, come on up to
say something?
Yeah, come on up to the mic and give us your name, please.
My name is David Floor. I'm the chief down at Rockaway Beach. I've been there since last July, and I'm sure everybody's familiar with the stories that went on with Rockaway and everything. I've had several meetings with the sheriff here trying to get us back on good terms with everybody. And as Mr. Straffis, said, the economic times that we're in right now, Rockaway is really strapped for cash and to purchase vehicles and everything. Kind of got in on the backside of this. I believe the mayor contacted the commission about getting one of these vehicles. The vehicle we have now is getting, you know, quite a few miles on it. I'm trying to get Rockaway back to a full-time police force that will relieve a lot of responsibilities on the deputies around here. Having only one vehicle, that's hard for me to do. So with the economics that we're in right now, and, you know, if y'all could let us have the vehicle at a decent price, it would really not only help Rockaway Beach, but in the end, it's going to help the sheriff's department and everything, too, not having to respond to calls down there. So basically, that's all I've got to say about it.
Thank you. Good point. All right. Who has a recommendation or motion or whatnot?
What I want to do is contact the Missouri Surplus entity you just mentioned and see how they come to a pricing structure, because they've got to come up with a price versus just picking one out of the air and see what their structure is for pricing, so that I can understand better. But I mean, basically, we're the $500 at this point. If the Blue Book value is $9,600 or plus or minus, I've got to make sure that, you know, we have some rhyme or reason to the pricing structure. I have no problem offering, you know, a discount to local governments, but what's that right price? I don't know. That's what I'm going to do. I don't have a motion to do anything right now besides do some more research.
All right. Danny, recommendation or comments or anybody else?
Either that or put them in the sale and let them bid on them. I want to be fair to everyone in this, what we're trying to do here. And if we're put them up for, but Jimmy said, you know, we'd always put them up for public auction, and that gives the opportunity to do so. I know that everybody is under financial strain. The corporate area is also, and would hope that we could come up with a cost off of a percentage of the Blue Book price that we could offer to all the entities. I just think that that's the only way we can be fair about the whole thing.
Okay. I'm kind of hearing that there's possibility we'd lean toward not sending them to auction if we could come up with a price otherwise. Jimmy, you brought that up, that we hadn't done that in the past. Anything else you want to add to that? Okay.
With what he talked about, maybe one of the vehicles that had a problem, like a head gasket problem or something that you talked about, would be something that if a government entity wanted to take and rebuild it, I mean, if there wasn't anything major wrong with it, they're going to end up with that vehicle with a lot less dollars in it than what they would buying a 96 model Dakota. So if the things that are brought to their attention that we have and our mechanics have on record, you know, there might be such a thing as letting them have one of the three older models that have something wrong with them that they could, once they had the vehicle, the cost would be a lot more. But I really want to be fair to every entity.
Okay, so we don't let this get away from us. How about a time show? You want a week, Jim, or a day or two, or to get a hold of Missouri Surplus, see if they can give you a...
We can bring it up on Wednesday. We've got a session on Wednesday, BOE.
I won't be here, Jim. I've got a doctor's appointment.
That's right, you're not going to be here. Let me find out the information and email it both to everyone, and that way we can kind of figure out what that... We can schedule after we send the email out, after you see an email from me of what I found out.
Bring it back before the commission, then we'll all vote on it.
Right, once you have the information.
Okay, other comments, questions? All right, we'll look to do that and move on the agenda to Tiger II grant. Who would like to start that discussion? We've talked a little bit about this from the Transportation Board with Mr. Shantz earlier.
I had something I wanted to throw out in the Tiger II. One of the key components to the Tiger II is the economic study. I guess it's a study, isn't it? Impact study. I'm sorry, I was lacking the word impact. Economic impact study that is required for a full application. I think what we heard last week was there's a pre-application, and then there was supposed to be, if you get approved for the pre-application, then you can do the full application. Well, they've changed the rules now that basically you do a pre-application, but everyone who does pre-app, it basically goes to the full application now. So we don't have that that comfort of saying if we don't have a chance, then we don't have to go through the full application. So what I'd like to know is, you know, we've heard from one of the engineering firms about the economic impact study, what they would charge approximately. Knowing that most of that would be used on all the application process that we've got on all seven projects that were recommended by the TDD or TAB. But anyway, I was hoping to hear from any other engineering firm that was here to talk about what they envision, knowing the Tiger II process and hearing what they would charge or how much can be used on all seven projects, even though we're going to apply them individually. I'd just like to know a little bit more about that, because that seems like that's the cost factor of applying for the Tiger II grant monies. So that's what I'd like to hear from you.
Well, I see Spencer and Mel here. Oh, and there's Travis with HTR.
And he just is
here as well. Okay, good. Does anyone want to speak to this? Come on up, Spencer, while you're coming. I did have it was Friday at the groundbreaking out at the visitor center. Mm-hmm. I got to visit with, I guess he called me previous to that morning. Ron Potter, Mayor of Forsyth, called, and they are applying for the 160 project.
Okay.
And the mayor is, the way I understood him, I think I got him right correctly, is that he's going to do the grant himself. Do the
impact stuff, the economic impact?
He's going to put all the information together to apply for it
himself.
Okay. And I guess that might be a good starting point for my question to the commission is, what information are you looking for from the consultants? Are you looking for a complete application? Are you just looking for information to supplement into an application that's going to be prepared by the county?
Spencer, and I know my point, my concern is what I'm looking for is the cost, and I mean, we're back to where we were on Tiger One, the cost and the risk of getting the grant, what's it going to cost us. I'd like the firms to give us an idea, their recommendation, how they want us to go forward and what it would cost. And as far as the, from my perspective, from what I've heard so far, guessing what percentage we're going to have of being successful is going to be just throwing it in the wind kind of a thing. So that's a tough question to ask the engineer, I think, any of you. But we need the best information we can get from you.
Okay, and so I know that you guys listed 7 projects that you were looking to make application for, and there was some indication as to which projects the different consultants might be working with the county on. So if I could, I would address it from that perspective. And since we did do the Tiger One application for the East-West Road, we have the most familiarity with 2 of those projects, one being the Highway 76 and Highway J intersection, right, and the Maple Street and the East-West Corridor intersection. With the information that we compiled through the Tiger One application, we can separate those projects out separately as individual applications at really no additional cost to the county. So we can do the pre-application and the application on those 2 at no cost, because the county spent the monies with the original application. We just pull that out and make that application.
That'd be wonderful. So that's the price is right on those.
Say that again.
We haven't recorded.
Yeah. So. We'll do the Highway 76 and Highway J and the Highway or the Maple Street and East-West Corridor intersections at no cost to the county, both the pre-application and the application, because we've already consolidated that information.
Can I ask you a question? It appeared that in Tiger 2, though, they're looking for a little more economic information.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have it in the? Did you get most of it, or
we felt like that ours was fairly comprehensive as far as, and we've reviewed the new information that they're asking for from the benefit cost analysis. There will be some additional work on our part, but we feel that would be more of a marketing effort to get the project successfully funded. So we're willing to incur that cost at our expense in the hopes that we can get the project funded.
Now, I believe there was 3 projects that we had talked to.
The other one we talked about was Coon Creek Road, but my understanding that had got
pulled off
from the Transportation Committee.
Okay.
Now, I mean, I would like to go ahead and voice my concerns about the projects, is that one of the key things that we have to look at is the benefit-cost analysis, and that's a ratio, that the benefits exceed the cost of the project. And when we look at these projects, whether it's these or some of the other projects that you guys are considering, it's going to be difficult to get those projects to score high enough on a benefit-cost analysis to show the amount of impact that they're wanting to try to have with this. The other thing is that if we look back at Tiger One and how they funded those projects, they're really looking for projects that have more of a regional impact rather than a local impact. And I think that's going to be something else that's going to be difficult as we start breaking these smaller projects out to try to show a more regional impact.
So you're suggesting to combine them all? That was one conversation we had a month ago or so, is put all the 7 projects in one big and show more of a regional impact that way.
I think that would probably have a better chance of success, at least because then you could spread that. You could spread the impact out. You could spread the benefit out over a larger over a larger area of the projects, and it shows more of a regional approach to transportation rather than a localized approach to transportation.
However, let me ask, I don't see anybody, it's all or nothing at that situation then.
Right.
And it looks like those seven projects combined, I mean, the Fall Creek, I mean, there's two Fall Creek projects. There's the intersection and the entire road.
Yeah. Hey, and I'll say on an individual basis, that's probably your best project. If you've had to pick one of these seven that would probably be the most applicable and can meet most of the objectives of the program, it's probably the Fall Creek Road project.
The whole road or just the intersection or either one?
The whole road.
Okay.
The whole
road.
But the whole road, Spencer, I'm remembering $6 million.
$5 to $6 million.
Yeah. And if it was divided up evenly, if I heard right the other day, if it was divided evenly, there'd only be $12 million
per state.
And we're asking for $6
million. Well, and there's $140 million that's designated for rural areas.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that targeted solely for rural projects.
But that's nationwide.
Nationwide. So, but there's, you kind of reduce your competition down a little bit to just the rural projects, because most of the ones you're going to see are going to be the major metropolitan urban areas, are the ones that are typically going to be the ones going after the funding.
Jim made a comment, though, I think in that meeting last week, how many rural counties there are.
There's a lot.
Yeah.
Thousands.
Now, the other thing that I think the benefit of the Fall Creek project is that you got multiple jurisdictions working together. You would have the Missouri Department of Transportation, the city of Branson, as well as Taney County, which is another thing that they're trying to do, is multi-jurisdictional, working together on a multi-jurisdictional basis.
About all our projects fit that, though, right? All the seven?
In some form or fashion, you get multiple players.
I guess
the more you get, the better, for sure.
Right. Okay.
And I think something else we pointed out was if we could provide some sort of matching funds, even in the rural world, even the rural, that $140 million that's designated for distressed rural, if we could come up with some matching funds, that would even help our opportunity even all the more.
Speaking of funds, while it's on my mind, Mayor Potter also mentioned that they were not going to be able to do the Cedar Street, the rest of the intersection at Coy, and the $50,000 the commission had committed, they couldn't come up with the rest, so they're not going to be able to use that money.
Okay.
He'd say, I'm sure they'd be willing to use it somewhere else down the line, but he wanted us to know that they had hit the wall, so to speak, on making that work.
So from an economic impact, the Maple Street possibly could be, because of all the potential new jobs. I mean, I think part of the economic impact is the extending the what we knew as the entrance of the beginning or the end of the East-West Corridor, but taking it to Maple Street, that would help the Hollister economics.
Yeah, and you're looking at coming from 65 to Maple Street.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that would possibly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It's $1 to $4 million that we think these little grants will go out as.
Yeah.
So would it be best to narrow that list down to seven even more so that it increases our opportunity?
I think so.
Because
some of them are going to be so localized, it's just going to be tough. Like, I mean, honestly, the J intersection would be tough under its current scenario.
Okay.
Spencer, if you could, before y'all came in, Mr. Shantz brought up in public comment the East-West Corridor, and we talked about that. And I mentioned that the other end, the Maple Street, had, my understanding, is a definite benefit, even if the East-West was never built. How about the J Highway end? I did not bring that up because if we were to do that intersection and the East-West was not built,
it would be difficult for it to reach its full potential.
Okay. I think we ought to have that in the back of our minds also.
Hey, so I'll throw out another thing. As a part of the Tiger II process, there's some other funding opportunities available for, like, the Community Challenge Planning Grant.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's here's my take on that. I see that as setting the groundwork for how transportation projects are going to be funded into the future. And I think that it would be wise for the commission to consider applying for that grant to start doing some long-range transportation planning in accordance with federal highway guidelines. And the reason is I think that that's going to start setting the pace for how future federal projects are funded. And so my take on that is by making application now, following that process, as Tiger 3 comes out, if it does, but there's some discussion that there may be a Tiger 3, or as we look at a new highway bill, that the way they approve the funding mechanism for these projects, if you prepare your transportation plan consistent with those ideas, which they're laying out for you through this process, I think you will increase your potential of capturing those dollars. And my take on that is that if you go through a planning grant for Tiger 2, and then Tiger 3 comes out, and you've said, here's a project that we want to do, then I think it should move you up up the priority level of saying, we went through the planning process like you told us to. Now we're asking for funding of a construction project through that same process, and just keep building on that. And I think that that planning grant is the foundation for the future funding for transportation projects anywhere, but I think that Taney County could be the ones that could benefit the most by going through that process. And the thing about it, and talking with MoDOT, you know, Springfield has a metropolitan planning organization, and that's part of the requirements from Federal Highway that they have that, outline the criteria that they're going to use for selection, public involvement, selecting their projects on an individual basis. And Taney County and the city of Branson and Hollister and the other surrounding communities are just there on the threshold of being in an MPO. And this might be the springboard that helps propel you to that level of recognition and planning so that you have more of an opportunity to capture those dollars, because a certain amount of that federal funding is allocated to those MPOs.
Well, I think the Transportation Advisory Board did make that recommendation for the commission to move forward on that grant. I can't remember the planning grant. They made two recommendations from the last meeting we had.
Before you get off of that one, and you're idling there, maybe how do we move forward on that? Do we need to put that out to all the engineering firms to make a proposal, or
that, or just you? I mean, you need to come up with a mechanism to pick somebody to make that application for you. Is what it really comes down to. But the benefits, it's not just the transportation. I mean, you're allowed to look at zoning codes, land use, livability, sustainability issues, access to transportation, multimodal, which means trails, which could relate to park facilities. There's a lot of overlap between transportation and your planning and zoning, and how the county develops in a controlled and it's somewhat of a controlled situation, and taking advantage of the assets that you have for that growth, but also protecting those issues that bring people here, such as water quality and the natural and scenic beauty.
We're going to have this discussion about, we went through this process of interviewing all the, getting statement of qualifications from all the engineers last year. We had six companies came in and gave us packets of information. I guess the question is, do we want to use that information to choose on the grant, planning grant, or do we want to start the process over? I don't remember the date.
26th.
On that too?
July the 26th for both, yes.
Both, okay. So we don't have time to put that out.
We've
got to choose
somebody. That question, didn't it?
Yeah,
yep.
We're going to have to choose someone on that. I'm going to jump around here while you guys are thinking it out. Isn't it kind of understood that about $1 million is the most any one project is going to get on these smaller? I know it's not supposed to exceed $10 million.
1 to 4 is what they say.
What Frank Miller had mentioned about 1 to 4. So if we combine projects, wouldn't that hurt us? Possibly?
Possibly from that perspective, yeah.
Okay.
And then the thing, too, the other thing that you got to think about is sizing these projects to a point where you can provide some local match.
Right.
You know, how much money is the county willing to put into this thing? Because there's, in any application, that's gonna be something that they consider, and I think will move you up on the selection criteria. But that's one advantage that we have with the planning grant, is that they give you how they're going to score the applications. That's one thing that we don't have on the Tiger 2, on the infrastructure, the transportation. We don't know exactly how the scores are going to be weighted on that, but we do on the grant side of it. But local match or local contribution is weighed into that decision making.
I got a question.
Okay, I got to ask one more question on the Fall Creek. So knowing the size of the projects, knowing what we're trying to wouldn't we try to get some of the Fall Creek fixed, which is the intersection versus trying to go over the whole road?
Yeah, and then what you could do, take on that approach, and considering what Chuck was saying, is make it a multiple phase project, and this is just phase one of multiple future phases.
Right. Because phase one of the Fall Creek intersection would be million and $2 million, million and a half, whatever.
Andy?
Spencer, I brought up the three laning of 76, the T Highway, and the MoDOT said they didn't have that on their matrix or agenda or whatever. How do we get that on their agenda? How do we talk about the issues of the traffic, which we had 18,000 cars that came down that road, the possibility of some work they've done that was showed some undermining on the hill going off 76. How do we get that on their radar? That's, I think, one thing that would be of regional importance, not only to MoDOT, but especially to Taney County. The amount of cars on that particular issue would, you know, far exceed any of the other projects that we talked about. Now, we're talking about we're talking about MoDOT dollars here, but we're also talking about Taney County citizens.
I think it's through that study process, it's building that case. And I'll go back to, in 1995, Taney County and Stone County and the City of Branson went together on an intermodal transportation study, which identified projects from a regional basis. And there's been a lot of things changed since 1995. I mean, we're 15 years later. And so I think now's the time that plan gets updated in collaboration with the transportation committee that you guys have put together, looking at the county as a whole, looking at all of the networks, 76, 160, making sure we have good north-south connectors as well, intermodal, looking at rail and freight and the trail system, so all those things. So, but being very specific about that and looking at Highway 76 and the benefits that a center turn lane would have on the capacity of the roadway and the safety of the roadway, which then supplements those businesses and helping getting people, you know, to them and back out of there. So we got to build the case. We got to tell the story and show them why we need it, what it's going to cost, and how it's going to benefit them.
Also, could take the step of going to SimCog, right?
Yep.
Dan Watch or whoever there, and Buddy Roberts sits on that. He and David Miller both, I think.
And it's got to be on our board.
You could go to them, and they could carry it there.
And it has to be on our list, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's got to be on our list, too.
But they could start both places.
But when you go to them and you show them, you know, here's what we've done, here's the benefits that can be derived from this project, it's going to move you up that priority list. Because, the needs are growing faster than the funding.
The fact that I think the accident reports from 76 T Highway to the bridge will show that there's a much need. There's a rear ender or a motor home or something pulled up into the prime time drive that's got traffic tied up for hours during a peak time. That's over and over and over and over again. Those things happen, and basically takes an overcrowded road, which I think he said 7,000 cars was what it was designed for, to 18,000, and then accumulates all these other possibilities for accidents and things, which totally disrupts and stops traffic.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the emergency vehicle response, the impact that it has to the school transportation system. I mean, all of those things can be weighed in.
Yeah. Anyway, I just was wondering how we get projects that are beneficial, that we can get them to move them up on their scale. So that's...
Bringing that up? Do you want to discuss it in the Tiger 2 now, or that just another issue?
That's another issue, but I think that's one that we might look at in the future.
Right. All right, back to Tiger 2. We got till the 27th to make
26th it's
26.
We turn in the pre-apps.
But we're going to have one more meeting with the transportation.
On the 26th. No, we won't have any more meetings before that.
Oh, it's on the 26th.
Yeah. Moved it. Yeah, so we actually.
Was the 22nd, wasn't it, Jim?
22nd, 23rd, but we had three people who couldn't attend, so they rescheduled them for Mondays now.
Oh.
I think what we're going to have to do as a commission is look at the list of seven roads, which was Fall Creek Road, intersection, the whole Fall Creek Road, the Maple Street, the J Highway, the F Highway, 160 and 176, and T Highway and 76, and decide, based off of that information, what's our best projects to submit for. And then we're just going to have to make the decision. The more I think about it, the more I'm understanding both what the HDR brought up last time and what you're bringing up, and the economic impact. We need to be more specific here versus doing a shotgun approach. We need to be really precise here. And it sounds like the Fall Creek intersection and the Maple Street are the two ones that would have the best chance of providing those impact scoring points.
I would argue that maybe the Merriam Woods and Rockaway one to give life back to those neighborhoods in a way that probably that hasn't been there before could be under consideration also. They talked about that intersection and about moving it.
I think
160
thing,
would be F and
right.
And
it's on the list. I just not understanding all the means of how they wrote the application. I think they made a point about job creation and not job shifting, not a business locating from one part of the county to the other part of the county because the road's new, but actually net new created jobs. And that's what I'm trying to think in the back of my mind. If even the two or even Ed and yours, do
they... We're going to have to eliminate down, I mean, to get them down to one, or have we decided that yet?
Or
we
two, three, that? Or, I mean, seven may be too much.
I mean, you would have to have a place where you, I mean, in order to get your benefit cost analysis high enough, you'd have to have a place where you have a significant safety issue in order for it to balance between safety and economic impact.
Right.
It's kind of, it would have to be a high safety issue.
Which would qualify there probably.
Yeah.
And that's something that could easily be looked at too based upon historical data.
Well, what are we going to do from here?
Well, let me ask you a question. I mean, based off what we're hearing, I mean, do you want to come up and speak at all? Based off as he's coming up here, maybe we need to look at our list and say, do we want to narrow down the list to a manageable number versus going to seven projects? So, I mean, that's what I'm thinking is let's narrow it down. And
I'm thinking that the seven is the time we got the dollars and applied them to location we couldn't and match, we wouldn't be gaining anything with the seven because it's... But if you want to try to narrow it down to two or three, do you guys, I mean, is there a consensus among the engineers that would be better, probably?
Yeah, I mean, I basically agree pretty much with everything Spencer said. Some of these intersections, it's going to be hard to show any economic improvement in those areas just by doing an intersection. My thinking would be the planning aspect of this, I think, is a very good way for you guys to go. Because you're basically doing that with the Transportation Board anyway. Now you're just getting some funding to put a plan together.
Okay.
The other option in my mind would be to go about it as a corridor. You know, take all the 160 into 76, kind of a wraparound Branson approach to it. But then you get into the project being too expensive. I mean, you have to look at it as obvious phases, but trying to increase traffic in that whole area to increase economic issues with Forsyth, Kirbyville, the whole route, and then you can maybe justify that, get a little better ratio. But just doing one intersection, I think, is going to be tough.
Okay.
And to kind of answer your question, Danny, too, as far as getting this on MoDOT's list, that's kind of what the approach we've been taking with 160 widening it through Forsyth. That I don't remember if all of you guys came or not to the public meeting we had in Forsyth where we had representatives there and just kind of showing them we've started the process of designing, just kind of getting it on their radar, inviting them, keeping them updated on what we're doing, and just basically showing them we're making progress to it, and it all of a sudden shows up on their list. So
We had an excellent meeting, I thought, the other day at the transportation meeting. Lots of opinions, lots of people spoke up. This Tiger deal, as we talk about it, and we got to that point, I think they had a consensus with them that the Fall Creek intersection on the other side was a definite hazard, and the road ranked up there too. So I don't know where we go from here. Is it your idea that the commission's going to make a decision on which three we're going to do without the transportation boards, other than their opinions the other day?
Well, they recommended all seven, and if we think that we can only afford, from a matching perspective, to narrow down to three, at least we're taking some of their, we're taking their recommendations.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking if Frank Miller made a comment in that meeting that a 20% match would really help our opportunity, well, 20% of everything that's on that list is more than we were willing to spend out of the, I think it would deplete all the road bridge funds, and I don't think we're in that, I'm not in that position to commit that much money if we were fortunate enough to get all seven projects. So it comes down to prioritization in my eyes, and, you know.
Well, the planning part of this, there isn't, you know, you won't really have the same analysis to go through, so, I mean, that one, minimal, if any, cost for application is kind of the way we're looking at it. So, I mean, you can apply for that one regardless, in my opinion, but.
So you guys want to make a motion on that to go ahead and apply for the planning, or did we do that the other day?
Well,
recommendations.
We've got the recommendation. We've got to figure out who we're going to assign it to. I mean, that's what we're going to have to do is, okay, we've decided that we're going to, I think we're all in kind of an agreement, let's move forward on the grant, but which engineering firm is the firm we want to turn it over to?
And one other question to throw in that mix is, do we even want to use an engineering firm, or do we want to use our economic development office, or one of the outside ladies that...
Like Barbara Bowley or something.
Barbara Bowley or the other lady that's... Are you that... Is the engineering firm going to... This is a mean question, but is one of the firms going to do a better job than one of those ladies?
They could probably do most of it. There's going to be some aspects there. In the city of Forsyth, they're applying for it, but we've kind of fed them a lot of the background data on the road design, kind of our preliminary stuff, so they could probably do a lot of it, but they'll need
there to be some benefit to having a firm.
Gotcha. Now we can work with them in some way if you want to go that way, but they'll probably need a little bit of assistance.
Okay. All right. Well, planning, I think we're pretty much seeing that's a thing to go. Just need to work out the details here.
Well, and it sounds like Maple Street intersection is going to be no charge for Great River to do that, because they're saying they've got enough data that they could just apply the Maple Street intersection with no cost. They've already got the impact information. It's going to score pretty good on that. So it seems like that's an easy one to say yes to, because we're not adding any money, except we got to come up with, if we were to match some of that, would we match 20%?
Before we answer that question, let me throw a thought out. It's from Frugal Chuck.
You're familiar with him?
Yes, we deal with him. Okay, so Great River's given us this idea. What if we ask, just being blunt, what if we ask HDR, since they've had the 160 some experience there already, to do us a similar thing on F Highway?
I don't know if we can do that.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure. I'd have to ask Mr. Paulson if we can actually say that.
Okay.
There's a fine line, I think, in the professional services world.
All right. Hope I didn't step on my foot there.
I remember having a conversation with Bob in the past.
Okay. All right, moving right along.
Well,
I think we need to soak up a little of these ideas and bring it back in a work session, because I haven't had a chance to think about who for what and all those kind of things. I was thinking more about the projects.
Right.
And so I would rather have maybe a table on this issue till a certain time frame and bring it back up.
How about us nailing down some
times.
Things, well, times too, but what I was thinking, some topics are, Jim, you brought up, how much are we willing to fund?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's an issue that we need to, we have to work that through.
I'll give it Frank on that to find out where.
You got a work session today, Frank, don't you? At 1 o'clock, so we could continue the conversation at that regarding the funding.
But those, we're not going to ask, are you thinking that those funds would come out of our current budget or out of our balance?
Well, out of the balance, but still, I mean, he would still want to know if he's, it'd come out of the balance, not his current operating business.
We couldn't take it, anything else out of the current. So it's the balance that we're looking
right.
at, which is 5 million or 6 million or something. Okay. So how much, what other targets should we be looking at?
We also need to decide what, you know, based off of feedback, I mean, maybe we, before we close the meeting out, is what of the seven projects really don't have an economic impact? And if they don't, do we need to consider those? Maybe we need to decide, let's narrow down the list of what roads we're, or what intersection, or what improvements are we looking at to do. That's something we've got to decide on the next meeting, too.
Prioritize list of roads, I guess.
Based off the requirements of the Tire 2 grant application.
Yeah. So, also, how about if we emailed our transportation board and tell them that we're considering, instead of doing the whole, all of them, that we're considering breaking it down and just seeing if they've got any comments for us?
Well, they've said yes to all of them. We can, but they've said yes to all seven. I mean, they're going to say.
So you don't think there's any question that they'd be in favor of that?
Well, I mean, the only reason I would take.
Breaking it down.
If I was going to reduce the list, is only because of the application requirements, not so much what the road's not important. I think okay. Everyone's saying the roads are. All the improvements are important and need to be on the list. I just. If we're going to go through the application process, we want to make sure that we've got a chance.
Okay.
But we can, I mean, we definitely can do that. I mean,
okay. What else, Frank? Everybody else is welcome for some more comments, so if you got some, be thinking. Yes, sir.
Frank Preston, Road and Bridge. To begin with, all of these are called stimulus packages of one form, shape, or another. And what I'm learning throughout the process is that whether or not we get any grant funding or not, it sure is stimulating a lot of people to think about things that are going on, not just from transportation aspects, but everything that a county is involved with. So to me, one of the most important or critical factors of this whole thing is the planning portion. So I'm definitely in favor of that. The seven projects that were put together, if we all sat down in a room as a group, we could probably add five or six more projects to that. Mr. Strahan's comment on Mount Branson to T Highway, that's a very strong, valid project with probably maximum impact, as he stated, in regards to traffic relief, safety, and all those things. So my hope was with the seven that the Transportation Board would prioritize that, but that didn't happen throughout the meeting process. Those are just a few comments I had. Should we prioritize? I think so. I think we'd be it would be to our detriment if we didn't prioritize the seven that we had.
What's your opinion of matching funds?
Knowing what we have in the trust fund, I would go out on a limb and say between $500,000 and $1 million.
Total dollars?
Yes.
Okay. Which projects? Do you have a list of priority projects?
For myself, would be number one would be the planning.
Okay.
From a road perspective, I have my personal opinions based on my traveling throughout the county and my observances. Professional opinion, I was hoping the group would come forward with that. I'm in favor of the T Highway intersection and also the one in Hollister at the Maple due for economic impact. I think that one there. That's obviously a growing area. The trend has been that Hollister is really doing some creative things in development, and I think encouraging that could have a positive economic impact for the entire county. So, but if we sat in a room and talked about all of them, you could toss them in a hat and see what popped out again.
All right. Good comments. Thank you. Anybody else?
On these projects, before we enter into one of them, do we need to have some idea about the cost of easement, how that's going to affect the cost of the project? I know we've talked about two or three projects here where there's going to have to be quite a bit of easement bought, and there's one or two where there's not going to be any easement whatsoever, maybe, that won't be need to be purchased. So there's kind of...
Well, the easements can be, they can appear as a contribution, basically, like the east-west. If we're able to secure some easements on, say, the Maple Street, what are the value of that? That could actually go toward the dollar figure match.
So we can match.
Actually, yeah, so we can, it can, paper-wise, you know, if we're willing to get the easements on that example, that area, if that was given to us at no charge, then we threw matching dollars in there, it could look like we're doing a 40% or 50% match, which would be really attractive. So okay. I think what we're going to have to do is just come back and
talk.
The commission's going to have a list of what we're going to go forward with.
Okay. Anything else? Tiger 2?
Table this until his 1 o'clock meeting.
Yep. Motion to table the Tiger 2 until 1 o'clock today.
Second. All in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries. Okay. Next on our list is Mr. Paulson, executive session, work session. We've got purchasing, Boyce Camp Road.
I had something administrative that since the sheriff's here, I was going to throw up something, something real fast. If
that'd
catch him off guard, but he's all right.
He can handle it.
Back in May, Sheriff had emailed us a request to get a small office in the old courthouse from the state for the state probation and parole. And I don't think he's got any responses. I've sent him a couple emails trying to say if can the cube space and the P&Z work, and it won't because it doesn't have the privacy. We have one. I mean, looking through the whole old courthouse, we're pretty limited on where we can find space. I mean, the only space that I know of, and since Bob's not here, I'll sacrifice Bob. But that space in Bob's office could be used for that if we wanted to, and move Bob back into the remodeled space behind the commission and admin people. But that's the first question. The question is, do we just, you know, I guess my question is, how long would they need it? Is this permanent type of deal?
They was talking about permanent type of deal. And basically what it is so they can sit and meet with parolees, probationers, while they're on this side of the county.
Okay.
It's just something they throwed out to see if there's anything available, and I just was kind of carrying it over to see if there's anything available.
Yeah. I've gone through the building. I can't find anything else besides that space is because of HR and how we've done the mail room and all that. Those offices down that hall are all committed now. But since he was here, I wanted to bring that up. I'm out of suggestions.
Say that again, Jim, if you would. They're just needing time, very temporarily, once in a great while, or
3 days a week. Here's the email.
Yeah, about 3 days.
Here's the email he sent us. But 3 days a week is what they're thinking.
They need if it was possible to have one, it would have to be somewhere that was they could shut a door and be private to meet with them because there's things that can't be heard out in the public with it.
You mentioned, Jim, sewer P&Z, and I know there's two desks over there, and then there's a conference room that's available if they had a person to talk to. I don't know if it would be a problem for them taking telephone calls and not being able to talk freely on the phone, because if that was the case, that would be a problem for them. And
yeah.
Bob's office, you know, whatever.
And the marriage room, I mean, that's not being the marriage license room.
Right.
Parolee and marriage, I mean. that's not being used all the time either. So,
where do we want to go?
Well, I wanted to bring it up since Jimmy was here. I wanted to bring it up and see if you guys wanted to think about those two spaces or three spaces, and then
just kind of wrestle that around a little bit.
All right, they're going to wrestle some more.
And it don't actually have to be in this building. It could be in another area that we've got or something.
Okay.
All right. Anything else?
Not for. Do you have anything for us?
I need him to stay.
I'm staying for Bob.
Oh.
Bob wanted protection.
Is it that bad?
Yeah.
All right, let's take, want to take a couple minute recess and
okay.
Then.
Yeah, get a new cup of coffee. Okay. Perfect.